Does anybody have any computer questions?
It's more of a Bard site connection. When I go to download a book, if I select the book and then I go to try to switch the folder to which it's going to send it from desktop to my documents or download, if it switches it, it also decides I don't want to download the file I want to download, and it picks all the files in that folder and says, do you want it in this, and this? So I can't switch from the desktop folder to the download folder or whatever I want to use while I'm downloading the book.
I've got two workarounds for that problem. The easiest one, I created a folder in my documents folder called downloads, and I just let everything go to that folder and then move it later. But if you don't want to do that and you really are determined to move stuff from folder to folder, if you want it to go to a different folder and you really want to do it that way, what you have to do is this, or what I do is this. Before you start moving around to the folder, when you're at the point where it says save file as such and such and it gives you a name, do a control C, because at that point the file name is selected and it will copy your file name onto the clipboard. Then go browse for the folder you want, and when you get there, move back to the edit box and do a control V, which will paste the file name back in where it belongs. And that's a kludgy Rube Goldberg way to do it, but whatever they're using on the Bard site makes funny thing happen to the file name.
You'll get the save as dialed. You tab to where it says save in, you pick whatever folder you want. Then you might stand, you probably keep on tabbing down to the from that point.
Yeah. I've even tried shift tab.
But by the time you do that, what's happened, unless you move very fast, is the window has already changed and it's obliterated the file name. That's what happens.
It obliterates the name off of the
right
from the file that you actually get it.
Right.
So the only way I found to get around that is to just copy it beforehand and then paste it back in when you get there. And the only other way around it is to just do it in a folder, to do it in the same folder all the time and make everything go to a folder and then just move it later.
This is a quick iPhone. When you have a misspelling when you're typing something, it'll say, if you have it turned on, it'll say misspelled word. But is there a dictionary function that you can do to find the spelling of words when you're typing them in an iPhone or an iPad?
I think if you have a misspelled word, if you select it, and then you're given the choices, you know, copy, cut, and one is often replace, and...
So is that a double tap on the word itself?
I think you have to hold... you have to hold down on the word and select it, and then you're given the option. It's just like cutting and pasting.
Okay.
So if you select it and then tap it again, after the word is selected, you tap again and you get the options cut, copy, and replace.
I have some EPUB files. Is there an accessible reader that can read them?
If you have a Victor stream,
yeah, I do.
And you buy the soft pack, about $40. But they say that with their software, you can read EPUB files.
I'm having difficulties with PDF files that are text files, but the screen reader doesn't like to read the stops or whatever, gets confused. I want to know what suggestions there might be to try to deal with that.
Then it occurs wild, 1000, you can have that.
Yeah, I have that.
I found that sometimes with Adobe, you know, sometimes it reads files fine, and then other times it doesn't, or
partially reads them.
Yeah. And I do a lot of PDF reading because I read a lot of research articles, and I found that oftentimes just throwing it into Kurzweil and, you know, saving it through there is a lot easier than having to.
It may be more error prone though, because that is a scan.
Yeah.
The issue with PDF files is that if it was coded correctly, Adobe Reader will read it fine. If it's a scanned image, of course, you'll get an empty document. There's no real good answer for PDF files except to just try a bunch of different things, including the scanning of them, because that's often where you end up.
There was a webinar put out by Freedom Scientific about Adobe and making changes in the computer. You know, they go through this whole step-by-step process of adjusting JAWS settings and Adobe settings so that JAWS will read it much better. And it's a little bit painful to go through it, but I went through it and I made all the changes, and I've been able, like manuals and things that were PDF files that JAWS is set to only read up to a certain number of pages, and it gets limited. And when you change certain settings, it can take in large documents. And I've been reading like large manuals and things almost flawlessly now, things that I could not read at all I'm able to use. And I will try and find that webinar, and they go a step-by-step process where they have you go tell you the changes to make, and I think it was both in JAWS and in changes in Adobe itself, and made it much more accessible.
Does your version of JAWS matter?
You know, I don't know. I have 13, and I'm using Windows 7. I did this actually maybe six months ago or something. Creative Scientific has webinars. Some of them are that you have to pay for. They have many free ones that help with these kinds of things, and I found them very helpful.
There's another program out there made by Christopher Toth, the guy that wrote Quitter, the Twitter client for Twitter, called QRead, Q-R-E-A-D. I don't know, he does, you have to pay for it. It's either $20 or $30, I don't know. But it's well worth looking at because it also brings in PDF files and can do a nice job, and it's very, very fast, and it reads many other book formats, and he's doing a lot of work on it to improve it all the time, so it's also well worth a look.
Also, Jamal has the PDF to TXT program that a lot of people use for converting PDFs to text. Uh-huh. It's literally called PDF and the number 2 TXT, and Jamal's website, Jamal is, by the way, one of the founders, if not the founder, of Vibug. And his website is empowermentzone.com. And you can find, I think the link for the PDF to TXT is empowermentzone.com/P2Text Setup or something like that. They all follow a certain syntax. It's like 3 characters and then setup. So it might be P2TSetup.exe, but you can find it as well.
I found a way from my Netgear setup in my home. I want to get onto the internet, and in order to do that, I've got to connect to somebody else's connection in the area that I'm in, and they're all locked. I haven't found one that's open yet. How does one get onto the internet
so
when you're not in your home area?
When you get an iPhone, you're required to get some type of data plan. Your carrier, whether it be Verizon, AT&T, or Sprint, you can get on the network through their 3G coverage. And as long as it's not a very intense site with a lot of graphics or video or large files, you should be able to just get out with that. When you open Safari, you get this prompt that lists all the Wi-Fi networks that it sees, and you can hit cancel, which if you swipe all the way over to the right, the cancel button is there. Also in the settings under Wi-Fi, you can turn that feature off. So in other words, when you open up something that needs the internet, it won't prompt you about all the networks that it sees in range, because you can kind of constantly get prompted. And finally, here at MIT, they have an MIT guest network, which is open, which you can join.
Most hospitals, universities, conference centers have some kind of guest network. Fast food chains, oddly enough, a lot of them do. In downtown Boston, there's that whole Rose Kennedy Greenway wireless network that covers the whole Greenway.
Amtrak trains and things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do have to accept terms of service agreements in some of them, and sometimes that can be tricky.